How long would it take you to walk 40 miles? Might take a while, isn't it? When we left Paul, he was in Athens. Our last class, from Athens to Corinth, is about 40 miles. About 40 miles. And so, nothing here in your text about it. We might think that was an accomplishment, regardless of how long it took to walk that far. But here's a man who's doing all of that for the sake of the cause of Christ and his dedication to the one who redeemed him from sin. We've seen trial after trial that Paul has been in Lystra, where he was stoned, and Antioch, where he had to flee for his life, and Iconium, where they came down again, they stirred up the people, and he had to again leave. We saw in Thessalonica the difficulties that were there, and even the brethren had to give a bond as they enabled Paul to escape. In Athens, he was sneered. But he's going into a city now that you might not think would be a fertile field for the gospel at all. You know, we talked about the fact that when he wanted to go to Bithynia, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him, and he didn't go to Asia. Why did he miss those two large areas and travel up to Troas and over to Philippi? Of course, he had that vision. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And I know Rocky wrote me an email and said, well, maybe that's because where the field was more prosperous. And I think that's certainly a possibility. So if you're going to look for a field ready for harvest, do you go to a place that's known for its immorality and idolatry and ungodliness? A place where there was in the old city a temple and the priestesses were prostitutes? You want to go to that place? That's where he's headed, Corinth. Why? Faith. Faith is driving him. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The commitment to his ministry that we've talked about. So that's where we're at. We're in chapter 18. So real quickly, as we look at our map, so on this second journey, back up here, we started out right here in Antioch. Oh, I didn't mean to mark that. Erase that. Okay, so we started out here in Antioch, and somewhere here there's a highlighter, but I don't know where it's at, a pointer. I'm good with this, ain't I? Anyway, we started right here in Antioch. You can see it down at the right-hand side of your chart. Crossed the mountains, passed over the mountains, went into Tarsus. Well, Tarsus not mentioned, but he went through that area. We assumed that since he had been there and preached the gospel in that area, that he would go back and visit the cities where he had been. So you had Tarsus, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, Antioch, Pisidia. And then he goes all the way up here to Troas. And what happened at Troas?
Pastor,
what?
He picked up Luke and
the Macedonian call. To come over to Macedonia and help us. So we go to here's why. Okay, so we go to our next map. So here he is at Troas. Now we got it. And then, of course, he goes from Troas to Neapolis, Philippi. What chapter deals with his work in Philippi?
16.
Why is that helpful to remember that?
Two sets of conversions.
Conversion, there's two of them there. There's one of Lydia and her household, and there's the other of the Philippian jailer and his household. And both of those are excellent texts to be familiar with for the sake of strengthening your faith and teaching others. There again, he was mistreated, beaten, thrown in jail, finally released. And he went to Amphipolis here in Apollonia and in Thessalonica. And so he gets to Thessalonica and repeats his custom. What's his custom? Going to the synagogue. Began to teach. And so that's what he did in synagogue. Seemed to have some good success, but there were those who were against him. And once again, there was opposition. And that's where you remember that Jason had to take a bond because of the rulers and their charges against him. So he left Thessalonica and he goes down here to Berea. We remember Berea because of what? What particularly do we remember about him being in Berea? They were more noble-minded than those of the Thessalonica, received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to see if the things being said were so. What was the result of that attitude? Many believed. That's right. So they just believed and that's it. Never did repent, be baptized. How do you, what makes you think that many believe refers to, includes repentance and baptism?
Acts 2:38.
Why did you just say believed? What?
Part for the whole.
Synecdoche, that's right. And it's very common throughout Luke, throughout the book of Acts. So being familiar with that would be helpful. Okay, so then from Berea, we go down here to Athens. And what chapter is Athens? What?
17.
Why is that useful to them? Why is Acts chapter 17 useful to know? Athens.
Shows you how you can teach to people that do not believe in God.
That's right. Here's a sermon to idolaters, to people who don't know God. Great sermon in Acts 17 about the one true God. Again, we see that Paul's results were not always positive. A few believe, but many, some sneered. Some say, we'll listen to you again. Don't know if they ever did. And so he leaves Athens and he goes over here to Corinth. And so that's chapter 18, Corinth. That's where we're at today in our study. Okay. All right. So let's look at chapter 18 today. Now, when we get to verse 22, we're going to be at the end of the second journey. Where did we start the second journey? What chapter and verse? Or at least what chapter?
1536.
And so that's the second journey. Where is the first journey? What chapters? 13 and 14. So here's your three journeys. Not all the journeys he made. He journeyed down from Tarsus down to Antioch when Barnabas went to look for him. You remember that? And so here we're looking at the third journey and he's in Athens. So verse 1, after these things he left Athens and went to Corinth, found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. So Paul is trying to preach the gospel, but he's also working to try to support himself. We see here that he back in chapter 17, in verse 14, Silas and Timothy remained in Berea. Now, there's not a specific mention of a church in Berea, but we do see that verse 12, many believed. And while a church is not specifically mentioned, the fact that Silas and Timothy stayed there and there many had believed would lead you to think there was indeed a church planted in Berea. because these men would stay there to do what was done in Antioch, Acts chapter 11, and what Paul stated as the purpose of his second journey. Go see how the brethren are. They went through the area strengthening the churches. So he goes to Athens, where we had left Silas and Timothy and Berea. So look at verse 5 of chapter 18. So Paul's over in the synagogue, again doing what he did in the other cities, trying to reason with the Jews. And Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia. So Berea's in Macedonia, isn't it? Okay. So Paul is in Corinth and he's teaching, and Silas and Timothy join him. You remember last class where we went to tie this into another letter? Anybody remember? What letters did he write from Corinth? Book 2. Here's something to remember. Second journey, 2 letters. Third journey, 3 letters. Okay? So he wrote 2 on the second journey, both from Corinth. What were they? First and Second Thessalonians. 2 of his earlier letters. Not sure when Galatians was written. But these are 2 of his earlier letters. And so, if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, since all of this I know is right on the top of your memory, I can tell. Let's go back and look at this. Note he says in chapter 1 and verse 6, you became imitators of us and the Lord, having received the word with much tribulation. That's Thessalonica. Remember what happened in Thessalonica where Paul had to leave town because they were after him. And then you see in chapter 2 that he commends them for their faith. But chapter 3, verse 1, when we could endure it no longer, we thought to be left behind at Athens alone. Well, I thought he was alone already. No, and we sent Timothy, our brother, God's fellow worker, to strengthen and encourage you. So that tells us that while Silas and Timothy had been left at Berea, Timothy had come down to Athens. It's not stated in Acts, but here's where the advantage of knowing when letters were written, tying them in together, can give you additional information. So Timothy had come down to Athens, but he said, we sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. So on our map, remember we had Thessalonica and Berea. So here's Athens. So when Paul leaves Berea up here, he leaves Silas and Timothy. But while at Athens, he said, I didn't want to be left alone, and I sent Timothy back because I was concerned about the people in Thessalonica. What about Silas? Not said at this time, but it's very possible. What you have now is Timothy back in Thessalonica and Silas in Berea. Now, both of these places are in the province of Macedonia, right? So, that helps to explain the text we're looking at here in Acts chapter 18, when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia. And all of that ties together. Paul began devoting himself completely to the Word. Now, why? I don't know for sure. There's a time when Paul received support from brethren in Macedonia, and maybe that freed him up from the doing so much of the tent making. Maybe he was simply encouraged by the coming of Silas and Timothy. But be that as it may, for some reason, he had renewed enthusiasm in devoting himself completely to the Word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. So, was Silas and Timothy engaged in this work of testifying that Jesus was the Christ? Were they?
Yes.
They were? Who testifies? Witnesses. Were they witnesses? No. No. Paul was a witness. He's testifying. We looked at that in the Gospel of John. We looked at that in the Gospel of Luke. And then we looked at that at the beginning of Acts. You will be my witnesses. Where is that at? In Acts. One eight. That's right. 1:8. You will be my witnesses. And so Paul is testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. When they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm clean. From now on I'll go to the Gentiles." We saw him do that in city after city. Like in Antioch of Pisidia, he went to the synagogue, he taught, went back the next Sabbath, and again taught. But then there was opposition. You could see he had no good audience, and so he said, "I'm going to go to the Gentiles." He left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, now this is interesting. So first you're going to Corinth, but you go to a place where there are religious people and start trying to teach. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. He's the leader of the synagogue. What's the chances of converting that guy? But it says he believed in the Lord with all his household. Remember Acts 18:8. It can be a useful tool in your toolbox of teaching. Did the Corinthians in the last part of the verse do the same thing Crispus did to be saved? Yes. There's one law of salvation for all men. Matthew chapter 28, go make disciples of all the nations, teaching them, I'll be with you at the end of the world. One law of salvation for all men. But does the text say that they did the same thing? Does the text say they did? It does not. The answer is no. But does it mean they did the same thing? Yes. Here's our believed again. So here's believed, first part of the verse. Last part of the verse, they were believing and being baptized. Not something different, same thing. And here you have a text that explains this idiom we've been talking about throughout the book of Acts. We talked about that in chapter 16, didn't we? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your household. But the man was baptized. And then he rejoiced having believed in God. You have that here again. So, God's involved in Paul's ministry. You know, you think about the great things that are going on in the world at this time. The Empire of Rome, the decisions they're making, the armies, the politics, the businesses that are going on in these cities. Corinth was at a location where east and west traffic went through that area. It was a place of commerce. It was a place of education. There were universities or places of learning. And God knows all about that. But you know what? He knows about this one man who's poor, working, making tents to make a living, trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knows about that fella. And so you think about you and me in our life, we don't influence the United States policies or world policies. We may not have a business with 1,000 employees under us, but God knows everything about what we do or fail to do. And here it says he appeared to Paul in the night by vision. Do not be afraid any longer. So does Paul ever have fear? Yes, sir. But I thought Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, when he commissioned the apostles, of course, Paul wasn't in that particular setting, but it would include him. But in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body." So is Paul in violation of what Jesus said when he says here he was afraid? Not, but Chapter 10:28, do not fear, but rather fear him. Yeah, you're going to be afraid. You're going to have to run for your life at times, which he did. But that couldn't deter him from his mission. That's what he's telling the apostles. We might be afraid at times. We might feel intimidated. But don't let that stop you from doing the work you've signed up to do when you became a servant of Jesus Christ. Obviously, it's not the work that the apostle was doing that we're reading about here. But we do have work that we need to do. And so he said, no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Who would have thought it? Corinth? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 9. You want to be a member of the church of Corinth? Probably some good Baptist folks that were converted, right? Or maybe some real good Jewish people who went to the synagogue full of good morals. Look at this. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. So you might be sitting beside a person who was a homosexual, a lesbian. Who knows? But they were washed in the blood of Jesus, made clean. That's what Paul's out to do, to bring the message of salvation. Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. And so he goes to Corinth. God says, I've got many people in this city. I don't know what size the church at Corinth came to be. And it was a troublesome church. When you read the 1st and 2nd Corinthians letter, although Paul started that church there, you see there were those who opposed Paul. There was internal division. There was a number of problems they had when you read 1 Corinthians, for example. But God wanted the gospel preached there for the precious souls that would respond to it. So it says he was there a year and 6 months. When we talked about our chronology, we looked at these kind of statements, a year and 6 months. But you have another statement down in verse 18, many days longer. Remain many days long. How long is that? I don't know. But at least a year and a half. Paul was working in Corinth. About how long did he work in Ephesus? Chapter 19. A little over 3 years. That's right. Some places not very long. But an extended stay at Ephesus and here over a year and a half in Corinth. Was it because the weather was pretty? The climate was nice? He can go sailing. You know, that's right there on the water. So he can go sailing. Is that the reason he was in Corinth? No, he's there to do the work of the Lord. This is the higher goal. To make choices about where we live, the jobs we take, those kind of things. To serve the Master. That ought to be our first concern. Will it allow me to serve my Master? Lot made a choice on the basis of what? About where to live. Make a lot of money. Green pastures, I got a lot of flocks. What did it cost him? His family, wife, his children. Man. Is it worth price? People sometimes move. If you're a good church there, can you serve the Lord there? I don't know, but I'm going to get a raise and make money. Really? So here's Paul at Corinth. I don't know if he took advantage of anything that Corinth, being right there on the ocean, GNC offered. I don't know. But he's there to preach the gospel. Read the next verse.
Yes, exactly.
There's the answer. So Linda says she had someone say, see, God accepts these people. God have any people means they're accepted. Well, why is he doing all that teaching there? Why does he go see the letter that he wrote back to the church? How are these people cleansed from their sins, 1 Corinthians chapter 6?
Well,
Okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11, how are they cleaned? You were washed. In what? When Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor, he came to see Jesus and believed in him. For 3 days he prayed, fasted. A preacher was sent to him. What did he tell him? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. What? Same guy wrote this. You were washed. Is it possible he had reference to baptism? Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. And no one would say I baptized in my name. He's not arguing against baptism, but it's who baptized you is not important. But evidently he taught baptism and baptized people. Wait, can I find something else about whether or not he taught people to be baptized besides these two verses? Can I? I guess we just say, well, I don't know what about that then. Is that what we do?
Ephesians 5:26.
Okay, Ephesians 5:26. Very good. Here Paul writes this letter. And you can go to Ephesians chapter 5. Sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Excellent text. How do I know in Corinth he taught more than, well, it's okay. God just accepts you. We just talked about it. Look at verse 8. What do people do as a result of his teaching? Believed and were baptized. Right? Okay. So, appreciate you bringing that up, Linda. All right. So, Gallio is proconsul of Achaia. That's a very interesting thing. We'll not spend much time on it, but people want to... Say Luke made mistakes. I've told you about a fellow by the name of William Ramsey that thought he did until he went and did the research. Found out that Luke was a very accurate historian. And this is one of the places you get tripped up, whether you call a man a proprietor or a proconsul. And it so happens proconsul is the right term. How did Luke know? Maybe because he was there. That's the case. He lived in that time. Okay, so proconsul of Achaia. Now, if you look at, we'll do that later. Achaia is in Greece, and you could see that on your. I don't think I've got Greece on the map here, but on your one of your printed maps, I've got it on there. We gave you some, showed you some printed maps, and so the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul, brought him before the judgment seat. This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. True? No. You say, people misrepresent me. What's new? What's new? And so, Paul is about to open his mouth. Galileo said to the Jews, if it's a matter of wrong or vicious crime with Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions and words about and names about your own law, look after it to yourself. I'm unwilling to be a judge of these matters. Drove them away from the judgment seat. Now they took hold of a fellow by the name of Sothenes, the leader of the synagogue. Now Crispus up here was the leader of the synagogue. Did he quit being the leader of the synagogue? I don't know. Did they have more than one leader? I don't know. But anyway, here's Sothenes, the leader of the synagogue, began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Gallio was not concerned about any of these things. If you were writing to sell a book, is that all you'd put about that? Would you describe something about this beating and what happened to this poor guy? But here's an interesting thing. Look over in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1. And look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul writes his letter back to Corinth. And he says, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and who? Sosthenes, our brother? Is it the same guy? Don't know. But it's interesting. Did he also become a disciple and join Paul in writing the letter back to the church at Corinth? If so, that's pretty interesting that the Corinth would receive a letter with Sosthenes' name on it. He had been the leader of their synagogue. Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to the sea for Syria. And with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Cenchrea, which was a port of Corinth, he had cut his hair for his keeping a vow. Then he came to Ephesus. That's a pretty sharp statement about this journey. And we look at this map. So Paul's at Corinth and got this Jewish vow. They still observe some of the customs of the Jews. He was a Jew. But then you get to verse 21, taking leave of them, said, I'll come again if God's will. And he set sail. Wait a minute. They came to Ephesus. Verse 19. He had left them there. So here's Corinth. And so he comes across over here to Ephesus. Not much statement about that. It just says he came over to Ephesus. Cenchrea is right here. It's a border town. And so left Priscilla and Aquila there. Left them where? Ephesus. Verse 24, Luke picks up a story about Ephesus and Priscilla and Aquila. We've talked about Luke's pattern of writing. He'll start a story, follow it, that thread, and then what does he do sometime? Goes back. It picks up. And so now he's going to talk more about Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus, about their teaching this fellow Apollos. So anyway, he left them there. He entered the synagogue, reasoned with the Jews, asked them to stay a longer time. He did not consent. Taking their leave of them, he said, I'll return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. So he leaves Ephesus up here, makes this journey here. According to what I've read about this journey, from Corinth to Ephesus, about 1,000 miles. How long did it take him? I don't know. He didn't have an airplane. Ships that depended on the wind. Corinth to Ephesus. And so it goes all the way back to Ephesus. And that's where we find here. He landed at Caesarea. That's right here. Now, you'll note, I don't know if you can see it on the chart. You may not be able to. I've got one arrow going down to Jerusalem and another arrow going back up to Antioch where he began the journey. Why do I have it both ways? It's because of verse 22, the middle phrase. He went up and greeted the church. What church? Where? So Caesarea is a border town. He went up and greeted the church. That would not be Antioch. You wouldn't go up to Antioch, another border town. Jerusalem, he went up to Jerusalem. He went up and greeted the church. Does that prove he went to Jerusalem? No. But that's certainly a possibility that here he went to Jerusalem and greeted the church. And then went down. No, now down. But Antioch's north. We'd say up. No, down. Elevation, see? Down to Antioch. He went up to greet the church somewhere, and then he went down to Antioch. Okay, so I don't know how you drew that on your map. If you're doing those drawings, you may say that's too much work anyway. But be that may, if you see that and have it on the maps that you can find in your Bibles and various other places, that explains that journey. So when you get to the end of verse 22, he's back where he started. Right? Remember back in chapter 15? Go back to chapter 15. Verse 30. When they were sent away, they went down to Antioch. Verse 35, Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch. And then Paul says to Barnabas, let's go take another journey. Verse 36. There's the beginning of his second journey. So now he comes back to Antioch. Estimates for the distance of the journey. One book I have by an archaeologist. Got some good information from him. You're going to find different estimates, but hard to be sure because you don't know sometimes the exact route that he took. We'll see that when we move on here in just a moment. But estimated 2,700 to 2,800 miles. Not in a fine car or an airplane. Walking. Did he ever have a wagon or something? I don't know. I don't remember reading about it. But ships. 2,700 to 2,800 mile journey. And we're back to Antioch. Any comments before we continue on with third journey? Good point, Rocky makes. And that's what you're going to read when they talk about going to Jerusalem. It's up. Jerusalem was on a mountain, wasn't it? And so that's pretty common terminology, and it's a good point that Rocky makes that there's other verses that talk that way as well, and actually mention Jerusalem. Okay. Now, verse 23, again, we have a time indicator, but we don't know exactly what that time is. Spent some time there. Now, back in chapter 15, gives you an idea what he might have been doing while he was there. Go back to chapter 15. Here, he came back to Antioch, where he was sent from because of this controversy. Went to Jerusalem, they had the Jerusalem meeting. He goes back to Antioch. And in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord. So it would not be surprising that when you read here, he spent some time there that he was doing the same thing again. But if they were already Christians, what would he be teaching and preaching? Right, trying to strengthen them, establish them in the faith, broaden their understanding. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, when Christ ascended, he gave gifts to men. He gave apostles and prophets, and what's the third thing? Evangelists. What's the next thing? Pastors. And then teachers. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the building up of the body of Christ. And so Paul, as an apostle, was not only teaching the law, but striving to build up the body of Christ. So is that the work of evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay. Then he passed through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening the churches. All right. Now this, let me back up here. I'll probably like this map better. There's the second journey. And so they've actually got him going to Jerusalem, see, on that particular map. But that's not anything we can be definite about. All right, so now here's another one of that same thing. They too have him going to Jerusalem. You can see that down there in the bottom, if you can see that little map. All right, Now we're doing a third journey. Okay, so here we have Antioch. Now all the text says is he successfully went through the Galatian region and Phrygia. Here's a memory test. If you left Antioch and went up here to this area, if like on the first journey, what did he go through right here? Mountain range. Remember we talked about that? Mountain range run north and south. And so there's some gates through the mountain. Now when he gets up here to Tarsus and goes north, what did he go through right in here? Mountain range. Tarsus Mountains. Doesn't show that on your map. Now some of these maps will show that. But anyway, depends on your map. Now, you notice I've got him going to Tarsus, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. That's not in the text. Do I know he went to those cities? No, I don't. All it says is he went to Galatian region and Phrygia. What do I base that on? What might lead you to think he went to those cities? That's what he did before. Go back to the cities. In fact, that was the stated purpose of the second journey, wasn't it? In the second journey, after they stoned him in Lystra, he went to Derbe. And when he started retracing his steps, where did he go? On the first journey. Back to those three cities, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, right? Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium, where he just preached. Went right back to those places to strengthen those brethren. And so anyway, so I don't know that that's exactly it. All it says is that he went to the Galatian region in Phrygia. We've already talked about this matter. Is this Galatia up here? If it is, then the churches of Galatia would be these churches. But anyway, so it does say he was strengthening the disciples. So he was meeting with Christians somewhere in that area. Then we have the story about Apollos. Alexandrian by birth, eloquent man, came to Ephesus. So you hear a guy, am I out of time? I am. Okay, we'll pick up with Apollos in our next class and move on, begin through the third journey. So, you've done your map, great. If you haven't, I encourage you to look at your map. Look, if you're in the extended class, fill out the chart. Because when we have our extended class, the Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to talk about some of these things. And so, as well as some other material we weren't able to cover in this class.